Good morning, Sequoia members and guests, and the people out in Facebook land and the parking lot. It is a good day to be here, good day to praise the Lord. Amen. You know, it says in God's word that he supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Everything we need, we can go to the Lord in prayer. And God is good like that. Amen. So those of you who can or want to can stand to your feet, or you can worship from your seat, because God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Amen. Without you, I'll fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. It's where you comes my way. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, God, for always being there for us. And in this day and age when things are just so unpredictable, you're the constant in our lives. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. Father, you're so good to us. Please, Lord, help us to always remember that nothing is too big for you. Nothing. Amen. So this next song is called Shine On Us. And I know everyone out there needs that to happen to them. The good thing about God, he's shining on us whether we like it or not, because that's the kind of God that he is, amen? And I'm so thankful to him. I'm so thankful for the things that he does for us. So when you sing this, sing it from the bottom of your heart, because it's true, amen?
Thank you very much, ladies. Wonderful job again. I think next Sunday we'll enlarge our singing portion, try to get back more to normal, and so that we will probably be here longer than 45 minutes to an hour, depending on how long that preacher guy goes. You have this. This is just the diagram or the illustration the Navigators put out about that hand illustration. I was in high school when I first heard about it. But I have used this over and over, and I preached this last Sunday. The series is called The Will, and as you know, you have a handout on that. I preached 3 weeks ago on Christ the Center, and then last week, there was a week I preached on the love of God, then I preached on the Word, which is that bottom spoke if you look at your illustration. Today I'm preaching on prayer, which is the other vertical spoke. So you have Christ the center of the wheel, one spoke is the Word, and one spoke is prayer. And next week, we're going to talk about fellowship. The next week, we're going to talk about evangelism, or how I think the next week is the Lord's Supper. And then the next week, we'll talk about evangelism. And then the rim, the obedient Christian living the life. And I hope at the end of the time, it will make sense to you. It's one of the simplest and most enduring illustrations on what the Christian life is really all about. And I love the simplicity, and I love the fact that it's been around for over 50 years and really hasn't been improved on. So today it's prayer. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 15, John 15. Okay. Chapter 15, verse 1 through 7. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. That's the foundation. The word of God is the foundational spoke. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Christ is the center. We have to remain in him. We have to be in connection with him. If a branch separates from the vine, it dies. If our connection with Jesus Christ is blocked because of sin or doubt or unbelief, we are sick. We lack the resources we need. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, if you stay connected to me through the word and prayer, we're going to find out, my words will remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Also, let's turn to Philippians 4. I want to read just Philippians 4, 6, and 7 quickly, and then we'll talk about this. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. We're talking about prayer. John MacArthur writes, unless we understand God's word, we cannot understand the purposes and plans of God in order to govern and guide our prayer. Pray in Jesus' name. The word of God is foundational for prayer life. We find out the will of God through our involvement in the word. Reading, hearing, studying, memorizing, and meditating. Then our prayers are guided. Philippians 4, 5b, and 7 in the message, and I love the way he puts this. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praise shape your worries into prayers. Let God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness and everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. That's Eugene Peterson in the message. Is worry the center of your life, or is Christ the center of your life? If you are steeped in the Word, if you're grounded and rooted in the Word, and you stay connected to Jesus through prayer, Christ will be the center of your life, not worry. 1 Thess 5, 16 and 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually. Pray continually. Is that possible? I don't believe the Bible would have asked us or commanded us to do it if it wasn't possible. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you want to know what God's will for you is in Christ Jesus, one is to pray continually. Ephesians 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all God's people. Prayer is simply, listen to me, living your life in God consciousness. Your whole life rising before God in conversation and communication. Your life is to be so God conscious, and my life is to be so God conscious that you see everything in reference to Him. Ladies and gentlemen, that takes spiritual growth, that takes time. John MacArthur again writes, in Jesus, the pattern of prayer, in any posture, at any time, in any place, under any circumstance, in any attire, prayer is fitting. I always chuckle. I'm on a Bible app called Bible Gateway, and when you turn to look up a scripture or a reference or something, there's a poll there. Anybody on Bible Gateway? You know what the poll is? Do you believe we should have prayer in schools? Okay, now we're not. Here's my point. There is nobody in the world who has the power to stop me from praying. I don't have to be ostentatious. I don't have to be arrogant. All I need to do is in my heart realize I'm living in the presence of Jesus and talk to the Father through Him. Nobody can tell us when and where to pray. I think it's just ludicrous. The people who think they can tell us not to pray don't understand prayer. Eugene Peterson writes this. I'm going to read that later. I want to talk about some principles of prayer. I want to talk about some things that prayer does. Just some thoughts I have on prayer, and we'll be done in an hour or so. Okay, number one. Prayer is our affirmation of faith. The Bible says the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This is not asking God for something. This is not even asking God to do something. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jesus said, pray our Father in heaven. Focus on triumphs, not trials. The Savior, not sins, and power instead of problems. It's an affirmation that the Lord of hosts is with us. It's affirmation that we believe the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. It is the fact that we believe our Father is in heaven. When we pray, we are affirming our faith in a loving Heavenly Father who cares for us. Who not only cares for us, He has the power to take care of us. Prayer is a testimony and an affirmation of our faith in a Father who is loving and who is approachable through the incredible Son who died for us in the power of the Holy Spirit. It affirms my faith. You know, one thing we've been through the last weeks, or seems like decades, but it's only been weeks, is great opportunities to affirm our faith in God through prayer. And not to focus on the problem, and not to focus on the sin, but to focus on Him. We need to have a laser focus on a God who is in charge. Another thing that prayer is, it's a great environment to make decisions. Make decisions in God's presence. You know your life is determined by your decisions. There is tremendous power in making our decisions in God's presence. Jesus, before He did selected His disciples, in the morning went out and spent time with the Father and prayed about who He would appoint as His disciples. We as Christians need to understand we are another man's servant. We are the servants of the Lord Jesus. We are not in control of what we do or where we go. He is, and we should make our decisions in His presence and listen for a still small voice. In prayer, we ask Him, what is it that you want us to do? And He'll answer you. How many of you have ever said, Lord, if this is not your will, close the door? Okay, let me ask you something. You don't have to answer this. Did He close the door? Don't answer. And did it make you mad? Don't ask God to close the door if you're not prepared for the door in your face. But I thank God for the doors He closed for me in hindsight, don't you? And I thank God for the doors He's opened. The next thing I would say about prayer is pray your deepest desires. Pray for your deepest desires. Now, I want you to know something. I am not an authority on Shakespeare by any means. But let me remind you of a scene in Hamlet when the king entered the church to pray, and he worked at it for a while, but finally gave up and said, and I quote Hamlet, "My prayers didn't reach the ceiling." He went outside the church, and there he analyzed the reason for his failure. And then Shakespeare writes something as good as anything he ever wrote. He writes this: "My words fly up, my thoughts remain below. Words without thought never to heaven go." Words without thought never to heaven go. What is the deepest desire of your heart? The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he will give you your desires. See, when your thoughts are grounded in the Word, your desires become his desires. What do you really want God to do for you right now? What are you asking God to do for you? What is the desire of your heart that you want him to fulfill? I know some of you have some incredible things you're asking God to do. Some incredible things. Ask him. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And it's an incredible thing. You see, you get grounded in his word, and his will becomes your will, and then whatever you ask for is his. And you know, we talk about praying in Jesus' name and people get confused. Well, today, I wrote a check to Sequoia. And so did many of you. They're out in the foyer in the offering place. When I signed my name to that check, I gave Sequoia permission to do whatever they wanted to with that money, because I gave it to them. But really, I gave it to him. And I trust that he's going to put it in the right place. When you want to know what it means, I'm sorry, folks. When you want to know what it means to pray in Jesus' name, this is what it means. Please hear me. It means that Jesus will sign off his name on whatever you're asking for. That he will put his name to it. That he will take double ownership with you. Lord, I need this. And I pray this in your name. Listen, if that's just words, it means nothing. But if it's an attitude of your heart, Lord, I want you to sign your name to my prayer and hand it to the Father. What about your last prayer time? Did Jesus sign his name to it? What do you think? The fourth thing is, realize you're in the presence of God. Realize you're in the presence of God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Read the Gospels. There is not one instance where Jesus ever ran or where he was in a hurry. He lived in the presence of God. Please let me help you here. When we go into prayer, we're in the very presence of God. And there should be peace. And we talk about, well, I remember when I was in college, me and a group of friends decided we were going to pray all night long. So we went out to the lake to pray all night long. It did not go well. All night long is a lot of time. And we were started, and it lasted till about maybe, don't laugh, 11:30. And then we had an all-night sleep time. And the first one who woke up started praying, acting like he'd stayed up all night. You see, I don't think there's anything right or wrong about praying all night. Since then, we have actually done that. But the point I want to make is, if you really realize you're in the presence of God, you will focus more. And then sometimes you will be praying and focusing on God, and a person will pop into your mind, and you may think that's a distraction. Listen, if you're in the presence of God, did it ever occur to you that God is bringing that person to your mind so you could pray for them? Maybe your mind wandering in prayer is God directing your thoughts so you will pray properly for the right people at the right time when they really need it. When I'm praying and someone pops to my mind, I'm trying to learn not to count it as a distraction, but to count it as an opportunity to pray for that person. I'll never forget one day I was in my office and praying, and God said, put a guy on my heart. And I prayed for him, and I sensed he was in real trouble. And so I called him and hadn't talked to him in over 2 years. And I said, this may sound crazy to you because it kind of sounds crazy to me, but the Lord really put you on my heart this morning, and I prayed for you, and I sense you're in trouble. And then I didn't talk for 30 minutes. He broke down and shared with me the agony he was going through in a relationship with his mate. That wasn't a distraction. He still thanks me sometimes for that call. And every time he does, I say, listen, I want you to know something. The Lord was responsible for that. You know what? I think about how many of those things that have come to my mind I didn't pray for, I didn't do, and how many opportunities did I miss to join God in what he was doing. Don't look at mind wanderings as distractions all the time. Look for them as direction. Now, if you're thinking about OU football, that's a distraction. Okay? If you're thinking about OSU football, that's a distraction. I wanted to be fair. The prayer of release power, number 5, the prayer of release power. I pray, and before I begin asking requests, I spend time in confession because I do not want anything to block His power and His flowing through my life. I ask Him to reveal in my life what I need to confess. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. I don't want anything to block the power of God. Pray diligently. Stay alert with your eyes, wide open in gratitude, Colossians 4:2. And then Eugene's thought. Paul's letter to the Colossians breathes with gratitude, beginning with the words, our prayers for you are always spilling over into thanksgiving. Verse 3. The tumbling vocabulary, the exalted thought, the excitement in all the truth, all these things exemplify Paul's exhortation when he tells us to have our eyes wide open in gratitude. See everything, he seems to be saying. Hear everything. Don't miss a note of divinely orchestrated music. The way we tune our ears to that music is by praying, and not by praying casually, but diligently. Keep your eyes open. Be diligent in your prayers. Ladies and gentlemen, try to avoid cliches. They are words without thoughts. I'll never forget one time we asked one of our deacons to pray for the offering. Not here. Not here. And he got up and he said, Lord, we thank you for this food. That's prayer without thought. And you know, a lot of times our blessings are prayer without thought. You see, when I teach my kids to pray at a meal, I don't want them to teach them to pray at a meal. What I want to teach them is to be grateful for food. And you can be pray at a meal every time you sit down to eat and not be grateful for the food. It's just words without thought. By the way, I was taught, now I lay me down to sleep. What's the next line? I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Do you want to teach your kids to pray that? I pray I won't die. It doesn't matter. Because most of the time when it's prayed, it's what? Tell me. Words without thought. Be diligent. Know what you're doing. Realize you're in the presence of God. Affirm your faith. Watch God do some incredible things. Three reasons why we should be devoted to prayer. I'm just going to read them. Because of our inescapable responsibility. We are responsible to God to pray, to stay connected to Him, and to open up His power on planet Earth. It is our responsibility. He doesn't suggest in the New Testament that we pray. He commands it. He expects it. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, He expects you to spend time with Him in prayer. It's a responsibility. It's also a privilege. And I prefer to go to prayer as a privilege instead of just because it's a responsibility. But that does not remove the fact that it's a responsibility. The reason we talk about prayer a lot here is because it's our inescapable responsibilities. Not every person in this room can teach Sunday school next Sunday at 9:30. Not everybody is even supposed to or called to. Okay? But Jerry is, and he's going to come and teach here. And we'll hear from God. Listen to me. Everyone in this room can be a prayer warrior. And there's no excuses. Secondly, because of our inadequate resources, do you know God has a habit of asking us to do things that we don't have the resources or power to do? Why? Tell me why. So we'll depend upon Him. So we'll trust that He'll provide the resources. So we will not even think of taking His glory. He always calls us to do things, ladies and gentlemen, that we don't have the resources or power to do. What in your life has God done through you that can only be explained in the terms that He was in control of you? You see, He's in ministry, asks us to do things, and in being a father, He asks us to do things. Being a mother, being a child, being an employer or employee, He asks us to do things that only He can do through us. And we stay dependent on Him. And we stay trusting Him. When God asks you to do something and your first response is, Lord, I can't do that. No, you're in trouble. Because He knows you can't do it. But He wants to show you what you can do under His control and under His power. And it's beyond anything you can imagine. Every person has that privilege. And finally, because of the inevitable reward, because of our inescapable responsibility, our inadequate resources, and our inevitable reward, He hears our prayers. That's what John 15:7 says. John 14:21 says, hitherto have ye asked nothing in My name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. One of the reasons Christians are joyless is because they're prayerless. One of the places joy comes from is by answered prayer. Seeing God do something brings that joy that only comes from Him. You know, there's a lot of negativity out there in the world today. And I want to tell you something. Negative circumstances does not make us what we are. It just reveals who we are. And I pray that the coronavirus will reveal that we are men and women who are steeped in His Word, men and women of prayer, and men and women waiting to see what God's going to do through us. There's not one thing that God wanted to accomplish in your life that can't be accomplished because of the coronavirus. Not one thing. Our God is greater than the coronavirus. And the coronavirus did not thwart, halter, or delay His will. It may have redirected it. It may have clarified it. But it didn't stop it. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Jesus Christ. I thank You for His life. But more than that, Lord, I thank You for His example in prayer. He taught us how to pray. and when to pray. Lord, make me more and more a man of prayer, and make our church more and more a church of prayer, and do great things that can only be explained in terms of the fact that you're in charge. In Jesus' name, amen.